Greetings and welcome to Chief Mike Koval's podcast. I'm Public Information Officer Joel Despain, and this is going to be a very special edition of the podcast today. We'll explain in a minute. How are you doing there, Chief?
Well, great, Joel, and I couldn't be happier to have sitting by us Chris Van Wagner, because I'll tell you what, his story, the story of his family saga, the story of Molly is easily worthy of probably three back-to-back-to-back podcasts,
yes.
But be that as it may, we're going to let the story tell itself, because we're not going to get in the way of this kind of saga. Mm-hmm.
So some may know Chris Van Wagner here in Madison, well known as a defense attorney, but he's not here for legal reasons, as the chief is just mentioning. Chris, sadly, he and his wife and family lost a precious daughter the other week. And well, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about Molly and what took place with her in the last few weeks and the struggles she's been through.
Thanks, Joel. I will, and thanks, Chief and Joel, for having me on. My wife and I have four children, and we still have four children. One's no longer here with us, but we know she's in a better place. That's hard to say, and it's hard to believe, but it's probably true. She has passed on. She died of a heroin overdose in Maine 3 weeks ago yesterday.
Wow.
And this is not something that Peggy and I were shocked by. We knew that she struggled with addictions and mental health problems for many years, like many young people from fine families, upper middle class families, who seem to have the world at their fingertips. But we thought we were ready for the possible call. And when we found out, we were not ready. You're never ready to learn that your child has died suddenly. You're just never ready. So in mourning, which is in preceding the grieving, we talked a little bit, and I sat down and I wrote her obituary. And I recalled that I had written it in my mind many times. I had, when she struggled. Wow. Madison Police, through the Narcan program in 2014, gave her a second life. Now Sergeant Jeff Felt was the first responder on the scene, and he had the first dose of Narcan.
It was our first dose, right?
It was, if you want to look it up.
Just trained those sergeants.
Right.
In fact, I think the first allotment was 300 doses of Narcan, and I think about 120 were used in training, if my memory serves me well.
And Chris, you know, long before the obituary, you wrote the chief a letter, and he kept that in his pocket.
Well, after she died and came back to life, and that's how we viewed it. My wife and I were very grateful for the work of the Madison Police Department, and I wrote a letter to the chief, and I explained to him that it was our debt of gratitude to the Madison Police. Because really, she was dead, and they brought her back to life with Narcan. And it may not have seemed that way to somebody else, but to us, Sergeant Felt was an angel in blue. Mm. He came in. He brought her back to life. It wasn't easy. She was never easy. I think I said in my letter that we thought her struggles would probably continue, and we hoped this gave her a chance to make it. Not everybody makes it. Molly didn't make it.
But she was doing better. Am I remembering that correctly, that in recent months you had some new hope for her?
You know, Joel, that's a real good question. And the way to answer it is the way an open-eyed parent of an addict should answer, which is she had good times and she had not so good times. We saw her at the end of August, and she seemed to be better than she'd been in a long time. But at the same time, she was very emotionally forlorn and lonely. And our struggle as parents was to say to her, you need to find your path through that loneliness, and you need to do it without substances and without abusing yourself. Sometimes we allow ourselves to feel as if we could have done more, and that's always going to be the case, but you always see the best in your child when they're struggling, and when you see hope, when you see a sign of hope, you latch onto it. And we latched onto her out in Freeport, Maine in August, and thank God we went, because we had to let go of her 3 weeks ago. It was hard.
Yeah,
I have to tell you that around 2014, when I initiated this program for our test pilot for our sergeants, and then
The naloxone,
thank you, bringing me back, and used it as that teachable moment, the springboard to say, we got to put this in the hands of all of our people, as you know, Joel.
And you were saying the letter from Chris was a springboard moment.
The letter was it. Ironically, that I had just hosted some awards banquet with Joel, with you. And I noted that a lot of my cops coming up to get a life-saving award showed a certain sense of, I think it's too strong to say, perhaps ambivalence when it was decided that you got an award if you brought an addict back from the throes of death. And I sort of collected them all after we were done, and I said, what's going on here? This is our mission, to save lives. And they said, but these are frequent flyers, Chief, and you know, it's if today I saved their life, maybe tomorrow it won't be. And I said, holy cow, God's providential hand and that letter from Chris meant that I was going on the speaking circuit. That letter has since been laminated and yes, read over the course of the last 4 years. Over 600 MPD employees, God knows how many neighborhood focus groups and outreach areas, and people who wonder whether it's worth it, people who sort of challenge me on Darwinian thoughts that to the survival go the fittest, and why are we wasting time and resources? And I said, if you really feel that we've been reduced to that, why don't you listen to the tones of a father, of a grateful father, who was provided an opportunity for more time with his beloved daughter and their family. And I'll tell you what, I have read that letter so many times that that's why I had to finally laminate the darn thing. And yet I don't recall me actually getting to the final sentence of this beautiful letter without losing it at least once. Yeah. And I know exactly what's coming and where it's coming. And that's how moving the entire conversation has been. And why Chris has sort of been an adopted brother of mine because of his willingness to share.
And I think as people who never knew Molly had the chance to read the obituary that Chris wrote, you got to know who Molly really was and the spectacular young woman that she was. Was at Edgewood?
In grade school at Queen of Peace.
Yeah.
Starting then, she was fantastic. In fact, I just shared a story. I just shared a story on Facebook, on her Facebook page, with friends who didn't know her as a kindergartner. She spent 1 year at a public school before going to Queen of Peace. They didn't have a kindergarten. She befriended a young man who was very handicapped, psychologically, academically. She sat with him. She called him her husband. His name was Gregory. And you're going to know who it is. He and she became inseparable in kindergarten, and the aid he had to have with him was really moved aside. And Molly's treatment at 5 years old of this different person who would have otherwise been mocked and stared at caused the rest of the class to treat him like normal.
Wow.
And you know what? He became the water specialist for the men's Badger basketball team.
Was that
team,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Gregory.
Wow.
I've talked with his mother this week, and she's heartbroken too. But this was the Molly that mental health and addictions took away. Mm-hmm. The letter, if the letter helps, that's wonderful. All I tried to do was communicate the gratitude for the time, and we got almost 4 more years. What does it give people? Yes, it gives you a chance to be with your child. Not always. Sometimes they're using and you got to stay away. But it gives them a chance to continue to battle, to maybe make it over the hump. And Molly made it over a lot of humps. Mm-hmm. She spent some time in jail. She spent some time in extradition status coming back from Maine to here when she skipped out on her drug court case that was filed. Mm-hmm. And people criticized us for being so hard on our daughter and calling the police to come get the heroin and charge her with it. But we wanted her in treatment. And even though she missed a lot of times, she had many more chances to get to the good spot. And she didn't make it as long as some. You know, we don't know how long we have on this earth.
That's right.
But if anybody gets more time on this earth to fight that battle, their loved ones gets more time with them.
And some of those young people are making it, and they are going to live long lives. And there's one of the other things I want to make sure we touch upon, because at the end of the obituary, you'd asked if people wanted to do something in Molly's memory that you would like them to donate money to buy more naloxone for the police department.
Absolutely, Narcan. Well, Narcan. It brought her back to life on November 20th of 2014. We found out later it brought her back to life on November 3rd of 2017 when she'd moved home for a couple months, and that was a difficult moment as well. And I just thought, rather than spend money on flowers for us, why not give the gift of life? Why not, in Molly's death, turn it into a life-affirming, life-preserving choice? I understand we've raised enough money for in excess of 300 doses of Narcan already. That could be 300 people who get the chance we had. I don't want another parent to feel the way I do today.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something, Joel, too. The thing about Molly, as you've read the obituary, is that I think some people have sort of a stereotypical image in their mind implanted about what an addict looks like. Well, I'd love to share this profile with you and this image of this young woman. I mean, she could model, first of all, as vivacious.
Well, she did every day on Instagram, Chief.
Well, that's one of the parents forlorns. But I'm just telling you, this woman defied gravity in terms of any of those stereotypes.
And I think that's what's good to bring out Molly's story. And there's others like Molly, sadly, who are out there battling right now. And I think one of the reasons that I completely changed how I do my job as the public information officer, when we first started seeing heroin, I was putting out people who were using heroin in news releases.
Right.
That was before I realized these are victims.
Absolutely.
These are people who need help. Yeah. And I think the entire mindset of the police department changed. And that's why we started the MARI program.
Sure.
To try to get young people, or not just young people, anyone, into help rather than going to jail, giving them that opportunity. Through the Madison Addiction Recovery Initiative.
We can't begin to deal with the root causes of addiction by warehousing people in mortar cinder blocks called jails and prisons and expect us to ever get any healing or redemption for that individual. It needs to be on a treatment modality. We have to shift the paradigm of how we look at people who offend vis-a-vis their addiction. And I think that's the only way we're going to be able to right this ship, is if we acknowledge that our society is ready to look at that through a different lens altogether.
And are you thinking, Chris, that Molly's story may help in that regard, in terms of people coming to grips with what the face of this addiction is and how it can affect any of us, our neighbors, our families, you know?
Joel, none of us are immune. It's our hope that it does help. And I have already heard from people who have said, you've given me the power and the courage to go talk to my loved one about their addiction and try to find a better way. We all can dance around it, but I think a lot of people were stunned that we were direct and forthright about the good parts of her life and how it went just completely down the drain through addictions and mental health. This is not something any longer that should be danced around in the shadows. It shouldn't be the family secret. You know, 20, 30 years ago, we took alcoholism out of the closet, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We said alcohol is an illness, but what people can't seem to make the connection. Alcoholism is an addiction. Heroin addiction is an addiction. Addiction is addiction is addiction. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, most people say, yeah, but heroin addicts, they're different. They're bad people. They should be locked up.
Well, and I think some of that probably goes back to when the three of us were younger, and mm-hmm. heroin really was a drug that was being used in the inner city. It wasn't something that we saw often, at least in Madison and other places, and now it's everywhere.
Well, that's funny you say that, Joel, because mm-hmm. you may know this, but from 83 to 87, I was an assistant DA in Mercer County, Trenton, New Jersey, my home county. And the heroin cases were, by and large, alleyways, abandoned buildings,
sure.
people down and out, people committing purse snatchings to get money. The irony is the purse snatchings continue because you need money for it. And the addiction is not for the high. It's to avoid the withdrawal for most mm-hmm. addicts. But that's how it was viewed. And it was heroin coming from New York. And I'll just say this. You couldn't die on an overdose of heroin in Trenton at that time because it was so watered down. It was so, as they say, stepped on with inositol and other substances that it would get you. The question was, did you get high or did you not get high? Hmm. And now it's ubiquitous. It's in every suburban community. It's in every town. A friend of mine from law school is a judge in Rutland, Vermont. And 5 years ago, the New York Times wrote about Rutland as a heroin infestation.
Is that right?
And that was a place where you think of clean air and mountains and water and skiing and hiking. It's awful, and everybody needs to understand it and needs to not condemn the addict, but to learn how to live with them and how to help them get better.
And I think to also understand the potency, as you were just mentioning, Chris. I mean, we're seeing this now cut with fentanyl and all sorts of things.
Well, carfentanyl will kill you instantly.
Yeah, right.
I understand a police officer died from it.
Is that right?
Yeah, just in the handling and processing.
Yes.
You know, just to put it to a context for us here in the Madison market, Joel, I know you get these statistics all the time, but when we see last year over this year to date, we've seen a 60% increase in the use of heroin and our officers going to overdoses. And more significantly, we have an incredible amount of heroin-related deaths now. three times that we had last year at this time. So I think that's one of the things where if people are constantly in their mode of minimizing, rationalizing, discounting, well, it's not as bad as all that. You know, it is a pervasive, insidious malady that has been here at our doorstep and is very much a part of our eight-hour calls for service with every shift. I also wanted to thank publicly the fact that the Van Wagners have, as part of their obituary requests, have asked people to make a choice that in lieu of flowers for their daughter Molly, that people decide to donate money to the Madison Police Department, specifically tagged and earmarked for Narcan inventory on our part. So if anybody has an occasion to decide that they would like to give, they can certainly call our offices and we can tell them all the particulars for how to send that check. To date, those efforts have netted over $10,000 in donated goods for Narcan for us, which will definitely be put to good use. And although I have to say that the other alternative, though, I have to ask, and what became of Jocko?
That's a great question. The other alternative is a pit bull rescue outfit.
Pit bull rescue. She had a pit bull.
We adopted Jocko, and Molly took Jocko to Maine. We called him the fun head case. He was a great little puppy. He has been adopted by a fellow named Mike Barry, who at 30 is one of those fishermen whose recent Facebook post, best to find him, had an option for a date the other night, but the bite was hot. Went fishing instead.
Jeez.
And he has been sending us beautiful pictures of Jocko. We think that Jocko was meant to live on the rocky coast of Maine and enjoy the fruits of this great fisherman's talents. But one little sad note about that, Jocko needed a loving environment to go to immediately because he was so loyal to Molly. It's as if they both knew they needed to be rescued.
Yeah.
And she glommed on to him. And he glommed on to her the minute they met over near Milwaukee. I mean, right away we knew this was the dog we were taking home.
It was karma, yeah.
And Jocko was with her when she died and laid next to her for 36 hours.
Wow.
Until somebody came in and then wasn't particularly willing to let the officers near her. So she was in humane animal control for a few hours and then I had a roommate go pick him up. But, you know, Molly... I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Molly lives on through Jocko's spirit.
Yeah. And what Chris, can people who are listening do if they want to, obviously if they want to contribute to Naloxone, they can do that in Narcan. What else can the community do? As we're saying, we can't arrest ourselves out of this.
No.
What can people do? Say, you know what, I'm hearing you. What can I do to make somebody else's life better who's addicted or... And what can we do to ensure that Molly does live on and inspire others to make change?
Joel, that's probably, as they used to say, the $64,000 question. Because if you have the answer to that, we can end the plague tomorrow.
Yeah.
But acknowledging that there is a nationally scoped problem that, believe it or not, is being addressed by people I know on a political level, it coincides with what's needed. And let me just lay out for you what we've learned. Number one, you do need to go. I'm going to say this. You need to go to an Al-Anon meeting if you have an addict in your family. You don't have to go every week, and you don't have to become a permanent member. But you need to go often enough to hear the message, which is this: you didn't cause this problem. You can't fix it. You have to get to the point where you are not simply covering up the problem, enabling the person to continue, calling the boss at work to say, Molly's going to be late, okay? That's their job, and if they get fired, which Molly had 40-some serving jobs in her life, and she had 39 she got fired from, I'm sure, okay? So that's what happens. But you need to learn how to address the subject directly with the addict and how to make sure you have resources available. This county and this town have more than most places, and the Madison Police Department and Mary are part of the reason for it. The University Hospital and the other two in town. But really what you have to do is try to lead a horse to water and hope it drinks, but you can't make it. And so I would say, I'll say this right here on the air, you can find me, Google me, I'm there. If you just want to talk about a loved one who's struggling, I'll sit down over a coffee and I'll do it. They're doing it for me now. People have lost children. There aren't any easy solutions, but we can steer you toward resources. MARI is a great program. It's brand new. It's embryonic. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of ways to get information. You need to talk to the addict. You need to bring it out of the shadows. You need to admit that it's an illness, not a criminal choice, which many social media posts imply or state mm-hmm, directly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Let them die is a common post.
Yep.
Wow.
Let them die. Well, not on my watch.
Right. No, right. Agreed. Yeah. I don't know, Joel, that we could make a better closing argument than what Counselor Chris Van Wagner just offered.
And well, I'm just a father, guys.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to thank you as three fathers here for taking the time and having the courage to tell Molly's story. And let's hope that it helps others understand this epidemic a little bit better. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I think, as you said, as your caption, what is it that
through Molly's death, there will be life.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm Joel Despain, and we appreciate you being a listener.